Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. Dear faithful followers of the miraculous star of Jacob, Jesus Christ Himself. Dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from Matthew chapter 2. We'll read verses 1 through 12. This is the account of the wise men's visit to Jesus, the traditional gospel reading for the Sunday of Epiphany. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, when Herod was king, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. They asked, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." When Herod heard this, he was alarmed, and all Jerusalem with him. He gathered together all the people's chief priests and experts in the law. He asked them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, because this was written through the prophet. You, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are certainly not least among the rulers of Judah, because out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly summoned the wise men and found out from them exactly when the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. When you find him, report to me so that I may also go and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. Then the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with overwhelming joy. After they went into the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother, they bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures and offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Since they had been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they went back to their own country by another route. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In our sermon for Christmas Day, we looked at several examples from the Christmas account in Luke chapter 2 to see how we can truly celebrate Christmas. In that sermon, we looked at some examples from the Christmas story, the example of Mary, who treasured up and pondered in her heart the salvation that this Christ child who was born to her came to bring. We look at the example of the shepherds, who praised God for this revelation of his salvation in the Christ child, and then spread that good news widely. And in that sermon, we also looked at Jesus, who is the reason for Christmas, the focus of Christmas, but is also the perfect example of forgiving love that we want to rejoice in and emulate in our lives, not just on Christmas Day, but every day. So today, as we come to the beginning of a new season of the church year, Epiphany, and technically yesterday was the day of Epiphany. We usually celebrate it on the Sunday that's closest to Epiphany Day. We ask the question, how do we celebrate Epiphany? What do we do? Are there family gatherings planned and special meals to be eaten today? And if they are, let me get ahead of this, and we'll just make the traditional meal for Epiphany be shrimp and steak, right? We need to have some church festival be that, the meal that we have traditionally during this season. Are there presents to be opened today? Are there lights to be lit? Are there Epiphany trees to put up? Ironically, no. Usually on Epiphany Sunday, which we are doing today, we actually take down the Christmas decorations. We end the Christmas season and begin the season of Epiphany by taking down the decorations that we had up for the Christmas season. But thankfully, just like in our Christmas sermon, we have in our text the examples of how to celebrate Epiphany. Examples from the men who were there at the very first Epiphany. So first, let's look at the meaning and importance of Epiphany. Epiphany is a word that means to reveal or to show, or if you want to be sort of old school, you'd say manifest. That's what the word Epiphany means, to reveal, to show, or to manifest something. An Epiphany is sometimes called the Gentile Christmas. because it is the celebration of God showing His Son, Jesus Christ, as the Savior to the Gentiles, those who were non-Jews. And these wise men who came from the East were exactly that. They were not Jewish people, they were Gentiles. In His epiphany to these wise men, Jesus then is revealing Himself as the Savior to all nations, all races of people, not just the Jews. That's good news for all of us, especially for those of us who are not Jews, those of us who are Gentiles. Epiphany reminds us that Jesus has come to be our Savior as well. On this festival of Epiphany, we celebrate Him showing Himself to us, we Gentile Christians, through His very own words, the Scriptures. This points us to our first example we see in our text of how to celebrate Epiphany. We see it in the example and the actions of the wise men in our text, because the first thing they do is they seek Jesus. Often when we think of this Epiphany account, we think of the wise men following that miraculous star to find Jesus. And that's true. It's what they did. You can see that very clearly from the text. But when we consider the question, why did they seek Jesus with such determination and trust and joy, we find out very quickly that it was more than just a miraculous star that led them to Jesus. What is it that gave these men such determination, such trust, and such joy when they found the Christ child? Well, it's the same thing that causes us to seek Jesus in our lives, the very words of God Himself. These wise men were fueled not by what seemed logical or intelligent according to their very well-educated minds, but they were fueled by the very words of the Old Testament Scriptures themselves. They were moved by God's Word. Those holy words of God that were likely passed down to them, likely from men like Daniel, the captives in Babylon, who likely were the ones who passed down these words of God for hundreds of years, until these wise men came. So what about that miraculous star? What was that star all about? Well, in the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers, there is a prophecy that calls the coming Messiah the Star of Jacob. But that prophecy is referring to Jesus, not to a physical star in the sky, although it is significant that that term is used for Jesus, the Star of Jacob. So God somehow must have made it known to these wise men that this star would lead them to the Christ child, because we hear them confidently telling the people of Jerusalem, "We saw His star when it rose, and we have come to worship Him." It was God-given faith that caused these men to go over what was most likely many miles of desert and rough terrain. Remember, traveling back then was not as safe or as easy as it is today. And this faith was what gave them such determination and trust that they would find the Messiah, the Christ, in the place where God had led them. Are we wise enough to do the same? Do we still seek Jesus today? And do we know even where to look for Him? Well, of course we do. You know and I know He's found in the very same place where the wise men sought and found Jesus in the very words of God. In that Word of God is where we find Jesus. There and there alone are where we find Jesus and the salvation that God has brought to us in Jesus. In that Word and in that Word alone are life, forgiveness, and salvation. And as we can see from our text, the wise men did more than just seek Jesus. You've heard that expression sometimes around this time of year, wise men still seek Jesus. Let's remember that they also found Him, right? They sought and found Jesus. And when they found Him, they knew exactly what to do. Our text says they worshiped Jesus. It says, after they went into the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother, they bowed down and worshiped Him. What a visual that is. These wise men from a foreign country coming, they find this infant, this baby boy, and they bow down and worship him. These wise men in our text were true wise men because they wholeheartedly believed the words of God concerning this baby boy, God's son, Jesus Christ. They didn't do what so many modern biblical scholars do and try to interpret the scriptures figuratively, as if God didn't literally mean that his son would be really truly born, a true man, to a true virgin. No, they set out in faith looking for an actual child. And when they found the place where he was, they didn't look around and say, well, we were under the impression this little baby was going to be a king, and we're not in a palace, so I guess we're in the wrong place. This was all a big mistake. We're sorry to trouble you, Mary and Joseph. We're going to go home. Good night. No, they followed the star to the place where Jesus was, and upon seeing him, they bowed down and worshiped him. Again, remarkable. They were not offended by the lowliness and humbleness of Jesus and his family. They weren't ashamed to bow to an infant Lord. Didn't even ask for how is this all possible? Give us an explanation, Lord. How is this tiny child God himself, the Savior of the world? They simply believed. They believed and they dropped to their knees and worshiped him as the King of Kings. We Christians are considered anything but wise men by some of the intellectually elite, those who are very well educated in our society today. Many people see our simple faith in Jesus Christ as both true God and true man as being not smart or wise, but actually foolish. And we are ridiculed for being so small-minded. And yet God in our text, or God in his word, tells us just who are truly wise and who are truly foolish. Listen to these words from Paul from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He writes, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent.' Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." These wise men acknowledged Jesus as their king. They worshiped him. As a sign of their love and loyalty and devotion to him, they gave him some very precious gifts from their heart. And in that we find our third example of how to celebrate Epiphany. We present our gifts to Jesus. Now, the Bible doesn't actually add any significance or symbolism to the gifts that the wise men brought, but it simply tells us, "Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." And so these gifts not only show the wise men's love for Jesus, but also in a very practical sense, these gifts were a great blessing to Mary and Joseph, and of course also to Jesus. They were a great blessing to them because do you remember how the rest of this account plays out in Matthew chapter 2? Let's read the verses that follow our sermon text for today and remember and remind ourselves just what happened. The verses that follow our sermon text tell us this. "Now when they," that is the wise men, "had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise, take the young child and his mother to flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.' When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophets, saying, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.'" It is very likely that they used these valuable gifts that the wise men gave them to support them and to provide for them as they took this long journey to Egypt and stayed there, lived there for quite some time. Apply that to our lives as well. The same things are true about our gifts that we present to Jesus. Whether it is our talents, our time, or the treasures of our own money that we give in offerings to God. Much like the wise men, we present our gifts to Jesus to, one, show our love for Him, to show our devotion and our loyalty to Him, but also, secondly, to bless other people. That is how and why God wants us to use our gifts and give our offerings, to show our love for Him and to bless other people, just like the wise men's gifts did as well. Think about the Savior that you are kneeling before in spirit like the wise men did on that first Epiphany day. Think of the great gift that this infant Savior, who would grow up and live a perfect life for us, think of the gifts that He would give to us. The perfect substitute, the perfect sacrifice for our sins, the perfect Savior who has come not merely to show us the way to heaven. He is the way to heaven. Those mansions that He is preparing for us in heaven. The fact that Jesus has done these things for us, yes, even us Gentile Christians, or it move us to give us the gift that Jesus desires the most from us. That is, our hearts. And so I guess you could say then that much like Christmas, we associate Epiphany with giving gifts as well. The infinite gifts that God has given to all Christians of all nations through His Son, Jesus Christ. And the gifts that we give in return from our thankful hearts. Let's always thank and praise God that through His Word, He has made all of us true wise men through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. And let's continue to be true wise men, true wise women, true wise children who follow the example of the wise men on that first Epiphany and still seek Jesus, worship Jesus, and present our gifts to Jesus. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.